Hello and welcome to the Parish Podcast. The sermon you're about to hear was delivered at the Parish in Alpharetta, Georgia, and is meant to be heard within the context of our local church community. So if you've never been to the Parish, you're missing a really big piece of the puzzle. We'd love to welcome you to join us anytime, and you can find more information or contact us by visiting our website at parishanglican.org. All right, we're going to start with a little exercise, okay, everybody? So as we begin, I want everybody to close your eyes just for a moment, okay? We're not going to pray. I just want you to close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to think back, if you will, think back to the day when you graduated, okay? Whether you graduated from high school or college or kindergarten, think back to the day that you graduated and remember everything you can about that day, okay? Where were you? What did it feel like? Who was there? Can you remember that? Can you remember the looks on the faces of people that were with you? Can you remember your friends there? Okay. Now, think if you're married or if you're dating or engaged, think back to the moment when you first met your significant other. Okay. What about that? Can you remember that? Can you remember what they were wearing? Can you remember what you talked about? How that felt? Can you remember that deeply? Maybe your first kiss. Can you remember that moment? That awkward, really weird moment? Can you remember that? Okay, and then now, what about something else that's not quite so joyful? What about the moment that you heard about the September 11th attacks? Do you remember where you were? Do you remember what you were experiencing? Is that kind of like printed in your brain forever? Okay, now open your eyes again. Now, I think probably, I'm going to go out on a limb, for most of us, those are probably memories that are pretty like indelibly printed in our brains. Any idea as to why? Anybody want to be brave and throw out an idea as to why those memories are so significant to us? Anybody? Anybody at all? Adrenaline. Yes, there's lots of adrenaline, especially in the first kiss moment. You're ramping up. Anybody else? Why are these moments so important? I think there's lots of different reasons why they're so important. But the biggest one for me is these are moments where your entire life changes, right? These are moments where things tend to shift. If you remember your graduation, you remember that moment where you took the tassel and you moved it from here to here? I mean, what happened? Nothing. From here to here, it's nothing. That's like 2 inches. But somehow, your entire life shifted in that moment. Somehow there was this weird aha moment and your identity shifted. You were no longer a student. Now you were a graduate. And that these moments are what we are considering epiphany moments, okay? We're in a season. We follow a church calendar. And in the church calendar, we're in now the season called Epiphany. And an epiphany moment is an aha moment. We talked about it last week. It's a moment where we say, this changes everything. It's like that tassel moment where you, it's very simple, it's very small, but all of a sudden, our entire way of life changes. Our entire way of seeing the world shifts in an instant. And these moments are really important, and it's dangerous if we miss these moments. In fact, last week we talked about how there's a huge danger of Christmas. The danger of Christmas is that we see baby Jesus and then we move on and we miss the epiphany of who Jesus really is. And if we miss the epiphany, then nothing really changes in our lives. But the even greater danger than missing the epiphany is embracing the epiphany. Because once we embrace the epiphany, once we realize who Jesus really is, we're forced to make a decision, aren't we? We're forced for everything in our lives to change, for our identity to change, for who we are and the way that we see the world to change. And so now, over the next few weeks, we're going to take each Sunday and we're going to examine these different epiphany moments in Scripture and how there are epiphany moments for us that should change the way that we see the world. So today, I want to ask you to do one more exercise for me, okay? Now, we're going to talk today a lot about baptism. This is about Jesus' baptism. And so for those of you that have been baptized, I'm gonna give you a lot of information. We're gonna talk a lot to you. Now, I don't think everybody in this room has been baptized, and that's awesome. If you're here and you've never been baptized before, I'm so glad you're here. So don't feel out of place. When I'm talking about baptism, there's some of us that have placed faith in Jesus Christ and we've not been baptized. And so today, what I want you to hear is this is a really important thing to do, and hopefully God will stir something in your heart that says, man, I want to be a part of that. And then for those of us that don't have faith in Jesus, we're still skeptical, kind of holding God out and saying, I don't really know. That's great. I'm glad you're here as well. For those of you, it's even better because you get to see behind the curtain today of what it means to be a baptized follower of Jesus. You get to see, what does that actually mean? Not just what have I seen, not what have I seen on television. What does it actually mean to be a follower of Jesus? Okay, so everybody's involved today, whether you've been baptized or not. But now, everybody close your eyes one last time. If you have experienced baptism, if you've been baptized, I want you to take yourself back to that day. What do you remember about your baptism? Do you remember people that were there? Do you remember actually being dunked under the water or having water poured on you? Do you remember people being happy for you? What do you remember about that day? More importantly, what do you not remember about that day? Is that memory as vivid as the memory of when you found out about September 11th? Is that memory as vivid as when you met your love for the first time? Is that memory indelibly printed in your brain? Okay, open your eyes again. Chances are, and for me, some of us were too young to remember. Anybody else in the room, you were too young to really remember what happened? Yeah, some of us were baptized as babies. Some of us, I was baptized as a very young child, and I really don't remember that much. And then for others of us, we kind of move through baptism, and we don't really realize the significance of what happened, not nearly as much as these other moments in our life. Why is that? And more importantly, the question I want us to ask today is, what really happened when we were baptized? What was that all about? What was the point, and does it make a difference in my life? I don't know if you know this, but the story of baptism actually goes back really, really far, not just to Jesus. It goes way past Jesus, all the way back to the very beginning. The idea, the metaphor, the picture of baptism starts in creation. In Genesis, it says that God's Spirit hovered over the waters. Have you ever noticed that before? His Spirit hovered over the waters. And one of the first things he does is he makes land rise up out of the water. And all of a sudden, there's this earth that we know now. And so this old identity of chaos and water is gone, and there's something new happening. And then you fast forward to Moses. If you remember the story of Moses, when Moses was a little baby, what did Moses' mom do when he was a little baby? Anybody? Sunday school gold stars for somebody? They put him in a basket, right? His mom put him in a basket. Because the babies of the Hebrew slaves were being killed. So she puts him in this basket, and all of a sudden Moses, who is this slave baby who is condemned to die, is lifted up out of the water by Pharaoh's daughter. And his identity in that moment changes. And he goes from being a slave condemned to die to being a child of the king. How cool is that? That image of Moses being rescued, lifted up out of the water. And then you fast forward, Moses leads God's people out of slavery in Egypt through the Red Sea, the Charlton Heston moment. They walk through the Red Sea and their identity changes forever. They're not slaves. Now they are the promised children of God, the people of God. And so then you fast forward a little bit more, Joshua is leading God's people. They've been wandering in the desert for 40 years, and now Joshua crosses the River Jordan. They move through the water, and they're given a new home. They're given a place to live forever. They're not wandering anymore. And then you get John the Baptist on the scene, or John the Baptizer is probably the best way to say that. John the Baptizer comes on the scene and says, look, I know that you've lived under this old covenant. I want you to come and be baptized. I want you to come and leave that old covenant behind and dedicate yourself to preparing the way for the Messiah. And so identity is shifting. There's this pattern all through scripture with water. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but there's this pattern, and the pattern goes slavery through the water, to a new identity. From slavery through the water to a new identity. And then you get to the baptism of Jesus. And this isn't just a little insignificant moment. This is a huge moment in the story of Jesus because it refers back to all these stories in the past. And there's even more that I couldn't go into today, but it refers back to the history of what God's done in the world. And God's saying, I'm doing something new. I'm putting a new mark on history. I'm welcoming people in to be children, sons and daughters of God. And so Jesus is baptized, and as he comes up out of the water, God speaks powerfully in that moment. He splits the heavens, he talks, and he says this, you are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. This is an epiphany moment This is an aha moment. Nothing can ever be the same if the Son of God is walking on the face of the earth and God says, I love you, I am pleased with you. That's never happened before in the history of the world. And God's saying something new is breaking through. It's an epiphany moment. But what does this mean to us? It's a cool little story. It's kind of cool how it ties back into the past. But what does it mean to us? What does it mean to those of us who have been baptized? What does it mean to those of us who've just watched people be baptized? What does that mean? Is there an epiphany moment there for us as well? The truth is that baptism somehow, mysteriously, guys, I don't know how it works. I don't know the exact moment that it happens. Sometimes it can happen before our baptism. Sometimes it can happen afterwards. I don't know. It's a mystery. But the Bible seems to be very clear that there is an epiphany moment that happens involving baptism when forever we are moved from slavery to a new identity. Our baptism is an epiphany moment too. And I think most of us don't understand or realize it. Even though we can't remember, some of us, the details of our baptism, like me, something truly remarkable happened. Paul in Romans 6 says this, Romans 6, 3 through 4. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now, it's easy for me to read a passage of scripture like this and be like, what in the world is that about? That's some strange metaphorical language. What's he trying to say? What if we actually just read what he said and realized that when we were baptized into the death of Jesus? That means our old identity, our old name, our old way of living, who we were is gone forever. If you've been baptized, if you have followed Jesus, if you have decided to place your faith in Jesus, then what that passage of scripture means is that you are dead. You're dead. Your old way of life, your old way of living, your old identity is gone forever. And life as you knew it is over. But there's even better news, because God doesn't leave us in that state. Just like Jesus, in the example that we read this morning, God speaks a new identity into us and into our lives. I don't know if you've heard this phrase before, but it's called our baptismal identity. Have you ever heard that before? That you have a baptismal identity? Did you even know that? You have a baptismal identity. And here's the crazy thing. This is what's true of you. Not what you think is true of you, not your past, not your mistakes, not your accomplishments, not your relationships, not the life that you've built. Those things are not true of you. Those things are dead and gone. Your baptismal identity is what is true of you. Paul continues in Romans 6, and he talks about this. He says, "For if we've been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." Do you catch that image? Think of the people of Israel walking through the Red Sea and being released from slavery. That's what he's saying has happened to us. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Just like those slaves that walked through the Red Sea, somehow, in that mysterious, glorious mystery of the sacrament of baptism, God gives us a brand new identity, and our identity as slaves, our identity from our past, is gone. So if we're alive to God in Christ Jesus, and we're in Christ Jesus, that phrase that Paul uses so much, our lives are hidden with Christ in God, from Colossians 3:3, then the identity that Jesus received at his baptism also applies to you and I, to those of us that have been baptized, those of us that have placed our faith in Jesus. That identity now applies to us. What does that mean? Look at the words that Jesus heard from his heavenly Father. "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Have you ever heard that or thought of that addressed to you? Because if your life is hidden with Christ in God, and if your old life is gone, dead and gone, and your only identity, your only true reality in life is that you are in Christ, then this is true of you as well. You are my son or my daughter, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. So what does that mean? It means three things. First of all, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. That means you're no longer a stranger. So if you have been through these waters, if you have been marked with this baptismal identity, you are no longer a stranger. Jesus in John 8 says, "Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever." A slave is always trying to figure out, do I belong? Am I going to be able to be here? Am I going to be let go? Is what I do going to get me in trouble? A slave never has a permanent seat at the table, a permanent place in the family. But you, as a son or a daughter, you belong to the family forever. This means you don't have to fight to be included anymore. You're in. You've got a permanent place in the family of God. You don't have to wonder if your associations or your accomplishments will give you enough credibility to matter. You matter because you are part of the family. That's what makes you matter. You are a child of God. You're a child of God and you're loved by God. You're loved by God. God loves you. We talked about this quite a bit over the last few weeks. God loves you. End of story. You don't have to fight for it. You don't have to strive for it. How much of our lives and our effort is spent fighting for love from people, from God? We fight so hard for it. What if you could just stop all of that and let it go? What if you could let that burden fall off your shoulders? Today's Epiphany says that you can. You're a child of God, you are loved by God, and you're pleasing to God. Now, being pleasing to God kind of sounds like being loved by God. It kind of sounds like the same thing. But how many people do you know in your life that you love, but you don't really like? Okay, you probably saw some of them at Christmas, right? So we all have people in our lives that we love, but we don't really like, and we just kind of endure because we love them. But that's not true of you. That's not your baptismal identity. God is pleased with you. He likes you. He's pleased with who you are, with your life, with who you're becoming in life. And you don't have to earn his pleasure. So these three things, this is your identity now. A child of God, loved by God, pleasing to God. For those of us that have trusted in Jesus and we've let go of our old identity and been resurrected to new life in Christ, this is who we are. A child of God, loved by God, pleasing to God. But here's the thing, it's so easy to miss this epiphany. It's so easy to miss this epiphany and just let it go by. We know plenty of people in life who would say, yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I've been baptized as a follower of Jesus. But we're not holding on to this. This is not the core of our identity. At our core, when you kind of see us from day to day, we're striving to make things happen. We're striving to try and gain love, to try and gain affection, to try and gain acceptance. And whenever we're doing that, it's because we've lost sight of this as being who we really, really are. So there's danger in missing this epiphany. There's danger in not realizing this, but there's even more danger in accepting it. In realizing that everything in our lives has to change because our identity changes. If you've been around our church for a while, you know that I have talked about CrossFit quite a bit, okay? Giggle, giggle, laugh, laugh. If you've ever met a CrossFit person, you're like, oh Lord, he's about to talk about CrossFit again. I'm not very good at it, okay, so I'll say that, but I do it quite a bit now. My wife and I have been doing it for about 2 years, but early on I was really, really nervous. I walked in and felt like a complete dork. I felt completely out of water. I didn't know what I was doing because here's the reality of my life. I never grew up as an athlete, okay? That's like an understatement of all understatements. I was a total dork. I played 2 seasons of Little League baseball and I think I made contact with the ball less than 5 times. I know it was not more than 5 times. So I played center field maybe 10% of the time, but I rode the bench really well. I did really great in that. I was a complete dork. I remember in elementary school, I've never told anybody this, okay? But in elementary school, we would go out to play kickball and I would try to be the referee because I was so deathly afraid of that moment where we pick teams, right? Like I hate that moment. I was like, oh, I'm just gonna keep score, you know? So I didn't wanna be athletic at all. And there was something that was imprinted in my heart that said, you are not an athlete. You're not an athlete. So you can go do you can be a mathlete, but you can't be an athlete. That was what I believed was true about myself. And then I'm standing in a CrossFit gym at 32 years old, and somebody's about to start the clock for this workout that I'm like, how in God's name am I gonna do this? And they say, all right, athletes, are you ready? And I was like, who are you talking to? You're not talking to me. I'm not an athlete. And then the day went on and we finished, and I almost died, but we finished. And then we did it again, and we did it again, and we did it again. And a few weeks in, the coach keeps saying, "All right, athletes, are you ready?" And all of a sudden I start going, "Yeah, yes, I'm ready." And without even realizing it, my identity began to shift. And I began to say, wait a minute, why can't I do this? Why can't I be an athlete? Why can't I try? I mean, I'm not very good at it, but at least I could try. What if that, just walking in the door, what if just accepting the challenge makes me an athlete? I never in a million years thought that I would consider myself an athlete. And all of a sudden my identity shifted and it changed everything for me. Instead of being embarrassed, instead of holding back and saying, oh man, well, I'll just try my best, I was able to walk into it and say, why not? Why not give it everything I have? All of a sudden my identity shifted. And I think for us, the epiphany that we're after today is a change just like that. That we let go all these lies and all these things that we've told ourselves about who we are and who we're not. And we let all of that stuff die. And we realize that we can answer the question, who am I? Think about all the people in your life, your friends, your family, your coworkers. Think about how many people in life are just rushing around trying to answer one question, who am I? That's what everybody in the world is trying to answer. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Guess what? You know the answer to that question. If you are following Jesus, if you've walked through that moment of exchanging your identity for the life of Jesus, you know who you are. You're a child of God, loved by God, pleasing to God. You know the answer. That is who you are. What does that mean? When you're a child of God and you know you're a child of God, it means that you're not a slave to sin anymore. Remember that? You don't have a temporary place in the house. You have a permanent place in the house. You are not a slave to sin anymore. So that thing that's anchored deeply in your soul and you feel like you'll never get rid of it, that's a lie. Jesus says that your identity is you're a child of God. And that means that you can walk in freedom. Being loved by God means that you can begin to love others selflessly because you don't have to have their love to exist. You have the love of the only being in the universe that matters, your heavenly Father. When you're loved by God, you can lay down your own needs and lay down your own pride and love others selflessly. Being pleasing to God means that you can let go of the burden of living up to the expectations of other people. What would that be like, right? What if you could let go of that burden of having to live up to the measure of what other people think of you? If you can embrace and have this identity and live with it in front of you every single day of your life, it means that you can because you know who you are. So much of the New Testament, of what Paul writes about, is just this really simple message. If I could take all of Paul's letters and condense them and just break them down into one sentence, I think what he says all the time is just be who you are. Just be who you are. You don't have to strive. You don't have to make new resolutions. You don't have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Just remember, this is who you are. Just live like it. Just live as if these three things are true and the Holy Spirit will take care of the rest. This is who you are, a child of God, loved by God, pleasing to God. That's our epiphany today. Now, for those of us that have been through this, we've been baptized, we've placed faith in Jesus, and we have this baptismal identity, we're gonna do something really cool in just a moment. We're gonna renew our baptismal covenant. And I'll explain that in just a second. But for those of us that haven't, if you're following Jesus, but you've never been through that moment of baptism and you would like to know more about that, I would love to talk to you about that. Please come talk to me afterwards. Because I would love, there's nothing magic, there's nothing wonderful that happens, but I would love for you to be able to have that moment to hold on to and know I have a new identity forever. And for those of us that have never placed faith in Jesus, and you've never been able to take that step of faith to say, yes, I wanna leave my identity behind and I wanna embrace this new identity. I wanna know who I am as a child of God. If you sense that in your heart today, then I wanna ask you to do something bold today. We're all gonna stand in a moment and we're all gonna renew our baptismal covenant. These are words that we said when we were baptized. And even if you didn't say them, this is what it meant to be baptized, is to say, this is what I believe and this is what I'm committing myself to. And so if you've never done that and you've never placed faith in Jesus, then I just wanna challenge you to say these words out loud. Say them with us and say them with faith and say, God, make this true of me in my life. And then come talk to me or talk to the person that you came with. We'd love to encourage you and to help you in that journey. Let's all stand together. So these words are our baptismal covenant. They're just an affirmation of what we believe and what we've committed to in life as followers of Jesus. And so we're going to say these together as a way of renewing our covenant and renewing the fact that we remember our true identity as children of God. Let's say this together and then we're going to worship. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Now, will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread, and in the prayers? I will, with God's help. Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? I will, with God's help. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? I will, with God's help. Will you see and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? I will, with God's help. And will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human? I will, with God's help. Now let us proclaim the glorious truth of our new identity in Christ Jesus. In Christ, I am a child of God. In Christ, I am loved by God. In Christ, I am pleasing to God, now and forever. That's true. That's true of you today. I pray that the Lord would burn that into our hearts and remind us of who we are in Christ Jesus. Let's sing together.